It is important that you be able to state what it is you believe. What guides you and what directs you? So each worship service, we claim a statement of our faith here at Daleville Christian Church. Today's from Romans, the first chapter, the first six verses. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. God's word for today on this September 11th, 2016, is from Luke's Gospel book, Luke chapter 9, verse 11. But the crowds learned about it and followed him, that is Jesus. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. Everyone here remembers where they were and what they were doing that morning on 9/11. Many things changed for all of us after 9/11. The U.S. economy changed. It was the start of an economic downturn that would rebound only to turn into the Great Recession. The Great Recession was declared over years ago, but you can't tell it looking around a lot of the central part of the state. I have a lot of personal ties bound up with 9/11, although it is only happenstance. One thing I remember doing that morning was getting ready to go out the door to city hospitals. My father was recovering from a heart attack. That event for my parents would lead them a year later to move. Also, coincidentally, now that we hear of the passing of one of our members, she was recovering from surgery that day in the city, and I was seeing her that day as well in the city hospitals. So when anyone talks about 9/11, I have many memories that flood back on me. There was talk at the time of people coming to church, lots of people coming to worship. I even remember an article years later saying the American church has dropped the ball after 9/11. I don't think so. I believe that some people wanted answers. And as we have seen in the last 15 years, there still isn't one answer to terrorism. There isn't one answer, except perhaps for God. What did Jesus say? The evil one comes to kill and destroy. And Proverbs reminds us, Proverbs 27:20, death and destruction are never satisfied. Death and destruction are never satisfied. Never satisfied. Death and destruction are never satisfied. So when will the terrorists stop? Never. Only when the terrorists are stopped by someone will they stop their death and destruction. But I didn't want to talk about 9/11 today, but 9/11 is an opportunity to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. I just said the terrorists will never stop their death and destruction unless stopped by someone. One alternative is if the hearts of the terrorists would be changed. Jesus said it was out of the hearts of men that evil deeds come. If the hearts of the terrorists would be changed, then yes, the terrorists would stop their death and destruction. Is it possible? Friends, you know that with God all things are possible. And the Bible also says that nothing is impossible with God. But I turn to our 9/11 Bible verse today from Luke 9:11. By the way, I heard a speaker years ago who suggested that another way for us to get into the Bible or for us to see the Bible with fresh eyes is that rather than start at the beginning and read through, or even start a particular book and read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, rather than do that, we can poke a hole, so to speak, into the Bible and read what comes out. Reading all the 9/11 verses, for example, is a way to do that. Or to take any favorite verse, say John 3:16, and find all the 3:16s in any other book of the Bible. It might help you remember some of God's Word, or certainly to help you remember where to find some of God's Word. But 9:11, the verse 9:11 says, "The crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing." The information that leads to this verse is really in verse 6. The apostles, set out, Jesus sent them all out, set out, went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. The apostles return, and Jesus with the apostles withdraw. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. Jesus welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and Jesus healed. We always focus on the healing. And maybe those crowds following Jesus also focused on the healing, but Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God. After all the healings were about the kingdom of God, really, all the kingdoms were about, all the healings were about the kingdom of God, its presence and its power. Through Jesus, the kingdom had come, and the healings were demonstrations of that. Jesus will use that phrase, kingdom of God, some 30 times in Luke's gospel book alone. Luke was sure to tell us that before Jesus ascended to the heavenly Father to sit at God's right hand. In the book of Acts, Jesus instructed the disciples in the kingdom of God, and Jesus did so for 40 days. Is it important? Is the kingdom of God important? Jesus thought it was. It is important. Jesus is inviting us to be under God's control, God's leadership, where God is king, and we are God's subjects. You and I may enter the kingdom and be a part of it here and now. We can be citizens of God's kingdom, a kingdom not of this world. The apostle calls us ambassadors of that kingdom that is not of this world. And we are ambassadors of that kingdom on this earth until Jesus returns to the earth. To be a citizen of God's kingdom is to live according to God's laws, not the commandments, but the spiritual laws of prayer and turning the other cheek and not returning evil for evil and loving the neighbor and being a good Samaritan and giving to those who have need, to forgive others. Those are the rules of kingdom living. Those are the rules of the kingdom. It is of importance that the last verse of Luke's book of the Acts of the Apostles says this, the last verse, speaking of the Apostle Paul, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The last word of Luke's two-volume work says that Paul was proclaiming the kingdom of God. Just by way of contrast, ISIS is supposed to be an Islamic state where Islam and the Quran are in charge of your life. The kingdom of God, on the other hand, is when and where we put God in charge of our lives. God, the Heavenly Father, the Father of Jesus. I picked up a pamphlet at the Christian bookstore a few weeks ago. The pamphlet is entitled 23 Ways to Explain the Gospel. Talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is one way to talk about the gospel. The Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen. Not all Jews became Roman citizens, but Paul did, and being a Roman citizen provided rights and privileges. So the Apostle talked about those in Christ being fellow citizens and citizens of heaven. We know that being a citizen of the United States provides identity and some rootedness, some security, at least before the law, as well as rights and privileges. In a world like today, where people travel from continent to continent and even live on more than one continent, the idea of claiming citizenship is important. People all over the world still want to be U.S. citizens with all the rights and privileges. And we Americans are fighting now over who is and who isn't a citizen and how to become a citizen of this country. Although we have traditionally been an open and welcoming country, we feel under attack and taken advantage of. This only proves how important citizenship is, doesn't it? Claiming Jesus Christ makes us citizens of God's kingdom. Our loyalties are to God, the Heavenly Father, and our loyalties are to God's will and God's ways. Now, the pamphlet outlined 23 ways to talk about the gospel. You don't need to know all 23 ways to talk about the gospel. You really only need to know the one that is yours. The gospel speaks to all people, but it speaks to them personally. One of these ways of explaining the gospel is your way. These 23 ways are all roads that lead people to Jesus. The Bible uses them all, but one of them did it for you. Experts tell us that most of us really relate well to at least two ways of talking about the good news of Jesus. Did Jesus speak to you as a healer? That's another path to Jesus. And our Bible reading today states that many people took that path to Jesus. Was Jesus an advisor to you? Many have taken that path to God through Jesus. Was the wisdom or teaching of Jesus that brought you along the path to the kingdom? These are a part of those pathways to Jesus. Since one author has outlined 23 different ways to talk about the gospel, and they're all in the Bible, that means there is no one correct way to talk about the good news of Jesus. Do I need to repeat that? Since one author has outlined 23 different ways to talk about the gospel, and they're all in the Bible, that means there is no one correct way to talk about the good news of Jesus. There are many roads that lead to Jesus. The most important one is the road that led you. But it's not the only road that leads to Jesus. Was it the truth of Jesus' words? Was it the light that Jesus shined for you because your path was dark and Jesus was the light? Was it the companionship of Jesus who promises to be with us? I am with you always, said Jesus. Were your sins a particular burden to you and you heard Jesus say your sins are forgiven? If you can put into words the path that brought you to Jesus, you can share that path more easily with others. Why would you do that? Why would you share Jesus with other people? Maybe you would share Jesus with other people because you care about other people. Maybe you would share Jesus with other people because you know some people who are hurting, and Jesus helped the hurting people. We serve the God who is available in any kind of trouble. Maybe you would share Jesus with other people because you know some people who are sick and Jesus was a healer. Maybe you would share Jesus with someone who has a few friends because Jesus proved himself a good and true friend. Maybe you would share Jesus with someone because you love them and Jesus loves you. Maybe you would share Jesus with someone because Jesus called us to do that, to share him with others. Those are some reasons you might share Jesus with someone. You can invite people to come to worship and pray that they will discover Jesus in one of those ways. Jesus chose more than one disciple, and Jesus went around with this message with more than one disciple. Jesus instructed and sent the disciples out together, not alone, but in twos. Jesus attended synagogue, which is a word that means basically congregation. The synagogue is where people gather, faithful people, for the purpose of hearing God's truth, God's teaching. The Apostle Paul taught that you and I were in Jesus becoming the body of Christ. The baptized are accepted as members of this church. We have responses we state when someone is baptized here. Madison was baptized here last December. Remember what we said? Don't worry, I have it written right here. We said we give thanks to God for Madison's faith. We accept Madison as a member of Christ's body, and we embrace her with Christian love. As stewards of God's graces, may she learn from the scriptures and from us what it means to be a Christian. Remember that? We said it together. We will say it at any baptism. We will say it at every baptism. We accept them. We receive them. We thank God for them. The membership isn't just into this church. It's membership into the body of Jesus Christ. One author put it this way: you were called to belong, not just to believe. This is especially important to those of you who may be hearing this on the internet. I want you to be blessed, and you were made to belong, not just to believe. God has created us for fellowship. Although your relationship to Jesus is personal, God never intended that relationship to be private. Hear that. Your relationship to Jesus is personal, but God never intended that relationship to be private. What are we fond of saying here in the Midwest? Oh, my faith is a private matter. No, it isn't. There are more than a few of us here this morning, but that's still not very private. I see you. You're out in public for Jesus. Our faith is not a private matter. Our faith is a personal matter, but Jesus did not want our faith to be private. The word membership is a Christian word. The word membership is a Bible word. Our destiny is to be an integral, interworking, indispensable, and interconnected body of living members who work for Jesus. That was a lot of 25-cent words. Let's hear them again. Our destiny is to be an integral, interworking, indispensable, and interconnected body of living members who work for Jesus. We are the body of Christ. There are 20 references to us being the body of Christ in the Bible. I wasn't going to list all of them for you in the sermon notes, but I put a few in. How about 1 Corinthians 12:27? Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I don't think it can get any clearer than that. You are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Go ahead and argue if you wish, but that's what God's word says on the subject. We are baptized into Christ, becoming members. Now, we've had people request a private baptism, and we try to accommodate and cut down on the crowd and do it a time other than 9:30 worship, but other church people, especially the elders, need to be there. Why? Because in baptism, you and I are going to be joined at the hip. That's why. All of us in baptism get joined at the hip. Now, we don't treat it as dramatically today, but in the ancient church, you might live and die with your fellow church members because you confess Jesus to be Christ and Lord of your life. So when you became a member, when you were baptized, that might be the person you would die with. Might be a person you would die for. Or the person who would die for you. And maybe we've removed the community element from baptism too much. I was told years ago that before we piped water into the baptistry here in the church sanctuary, water had to be hauled bucket by bucket from the water pump in the yard of the house next door. I don't imagine the preacher did that on Saturday all by himself. I wouldn't. Do you know how much water goes in that baptistry? This church, Daleville Christian Church, started as a meeting of people together. Those first pioneer Christians met over 160 years ago in a barn 2 miles east of here. They met for three reasons, represented here at the front of the church: the word in the Bible at the lectern, the message of the Bible at the pulpit, and the word of the Bible in the table, the Lord's table and the Lord's supper. I suppose when I said that those people met for three reasons, some of you thought I was going to say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, weren't you? But the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit move us to meet together. Together we become the body of Christ. But today we really meet for the same three reasons, do we not? We meet just as those pioneers 160 plus years ago, and also to support one another in our meeting. The word in the Bible, the word at the pulpit, the word at the table. Is that enough? Are those enough reasons to come together? Well, friends, some days it has to be enough. We're not what is called a programmatic church. People don't come here for the programs, but they may come for the program. You see the difference? It isn't the many things that we offer, it's the one thing that we offer. Now, some might say, well, you can get that in any church. No, obviously you can't. Some congregations are not dedicated to God's word, but you are. Some people don't want it. Well, we can't help them, can we? We are on the 15th anniversary of 9/11. Daleville Christian Church has made it through into the 21st century. Started in the 19th, came through the 20th, into the 21st century because of the Bible, the Word of God. Instead of saying, well, these old documents are not relevant, we've said maybe it's us that are not relevant. We need to find out how these documents, this Word of God, is relevant to us, to our life. Even though it was written down in a script that none of us knows, in languages we've only heard about, we said, the truth for the world is in there and I need it. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. We come to the Word of God asking and seeking and knocking. The truth for the world is in there and they need it. It's in God's Word. Through Christ's Word in Bible, at the pulpit, and in the Lord's table, we are joined as the body of Christ. And we invite others in more than 23 ways to consider how Jesus will meet them, to bring them into faith and fellowship through him with the Heavenly Father. Amen.